A husband was being super spiritual, listening to a podcast, a tape of ministry. For those of maybe a slightly older generation, if you don't know what a podcast is, they were listening into a speaker citing the biblical text about husbands being thoughtful of their wives, of loving their wives. He emphasized that love is an act of the will. A person can choose to love. It convicted the husband who realized that he had been pretty selfish and insensitive. So as he drove to join his family at their holiday cottage, he vowed that during the holiday, he would try to be a totally loving husband. No excuses. His resolve was immediately tested. After the long drive, he wanted to sit and to read, but his wife suggested a walk along the beach. He started to refuse. But then he thought, she's been alone with the kids all week, and now she wants to be alone with me. So he went for a walk on the beach. So it went for 2 weeks. He resisted the temptation to call the firm where he was director to check in on things. He agreed to visit a shell museum, although he usually hated museums. Who visits a shell museum? He held his tongue when his wife's slow getting ready made them late for dinner. For 2 weeks, he kept his vow to choose to love his wife. But on the last night of their holiday, as they got ready for bed, his wife stared at him with the saddest expression. "What's the matter?" he asked. Her voice filled with distress as she said to him, "Do you know something I don't?" "What do you mean?" he said. Well, the checkup I had several weeks ago, our doctor, did he tell you something about me? You've been so good to me. Am I dying?" See, you're laughing already. After it all sank in, he burst out laughing and said, "No, honey, you're not dying. I'm just starting to live." How sad, isn't it? That this wife felt something was up because her husband was being nice to her. As we'll see today, that is the expectation that God has on all husbands. Verse 25, he says, "Husbands, love your wives." Verse 28, in the same way, husbands ought to love their wives. Verse 33, "However, each one of you also must love his wife." 3 times in 8 verses, God's getting that message across. Do you think, guys, that we're maybe just a little bit hard of hearing sometimes, that God needs to repeat something 3 times for us? You'll remember we're working our way through Paul's letter to the Ephesians. He was writing to remind them of the way God has blessed each one of them in so many ways and to teach them how to behave in light of that. A couple of weeks ago, we thought of the command to be filled with the Spirit and how this applied to living life as believers in Jesus Christ. Last week, we began to think about Spirit-filled marriage and considered the duty of wives. Paul spent 3 verses on the wives, looking at the responsibility they had to submit to your husbands as to the Lord. And we thought last week on how difficult that is within the culture in which we live. People are all about themselves. They are selfish and self-centered, and they do not like to submit to anyone. We remember, though, that God is a God of order. He has ordered family life, just as he has ordered church life, just as he has ordered life in general for us as believers. If you missed last week, let me encourage you to listen in online and to catch up. Very important words for us. Now, the guys probably left last week, I'm guessing, thinking, "That's great. What a wonderful word for my wife. Well, if it's my task to bring you down to earth today, that's what I'm going to do, guys." Paul spent 3 verses on the wives, but guess what? He spends 8 here on the husbands. He sets for them a very high standard. There's a lot to cover and plenty for us, I'm sure, to think about. And so let me say again today, if you are married, then listen in well, for this is God's design for marriage. If you're considering marriage, then this is what God expects of you. And if you're single and happily living life, then please use this to pray for those in your family and friends within the church who are married. We begin straight away with the responsibility. And while last week we saw 1 main responsibility for wives, I believe there are 4 main responsibilities listed here for husbands. 1 that shines above the other 3, but those 3 follow on and tie in. It's all about love. It's all about leading. It's all about labor. And it's all about our loyalty. I've already highlighted the key responsibility, but let me show you again in verse 25. Husbands, love your wives. The first and the key responsibility, it is love. Following Paul's instructions to the wives, which state that the husband is ahead of the wife, you would have expected him to say next, husbands, exercise your headship over your wives diligently, just as Christ is the head of the church. If you were to ask Christian husbands, what is your main responsibility towards your wife, you would often hear to be head of the home. And while that's a serious responsibility, as we thought last time, that is not what Paul says when he addresses the husbands. Rather, he says, quite literally, husbands, be continually loving your wives. Not just love your wives, but the tense that it's written in, be continually loving your wives. The husband primarily, not the wife, is responsible to set the atmosphere of love in the home. And we need to be clear on what love is right at the start. The Greeks, as we know, had several words for love. This is agape love. This is the most intense, most divine, most magnanimous, most sacrificial, most humble kind of love. It's the love of the will. There are other kinds of words for love. There's that word eros, where we get erotic, the sexual kind of love. There's the word filial, that word that's part of that great American city, Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. And that's what this means, brotherly love. And then there was a rather rare word, storge, that speaks of family love, familial love, the love of parents and children. Paul here is speaking of agape love, all-encompassing. Love. Husbands, we are to love our wives with that all-out love. We are to choose to do it, to want to do it, to desire to do that very loving. And that love, I think, is shown in three main ways here by Paul. He speaks of sacrificial love. If you look at verse 25 as a whole, he says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Paul was lifting married love to the highest possible level. For he saw in the Christian home, I think, an illustration between Christ and the church. And we just need to consider what Jesus was willing to do for the church. Paul says he gave his life for the church. When Jesus came into the world, he loved the church. In fact, he loved the church, it tells us in Scripture, before the foundation of the world. He loved the church in eternity past. And he loved us enough to leave the comforts of heaven, to come down to earth, to take on human form, to be spat upon, to be mocked, to be rejected, to be disowned, to be crowned with a crown of thorns, to be nailed to a cross, to be abused and have a spear thrust through his side. He loved the church enough in order to be willing to die for the church. Charles Wesley hit the nail right on the head in his great hymn, didn't he? Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? And it's sacrificial love that is to mark the love of a husband for his wife. When Christ gave up his prerogative to be equal with God and to choose to come to earth in the form of a servant, he was acting in sacrificial love. A husband may say, I'd die for my wife if it ever came down to it. I'd fight to the death in order to protect her. And that's tremendous. And I really do hope that you would. But here's the real question for us today. Are you crucifying self on a daily basis on behalf of your wife? Is your focus on using her to meet your needs or on setting aside your selfish desires in order to meet her needs? Yes, the wife must also practice self-sacrificing love toward her husband, since all Christians are called to love one another. But the apostle's explicit command to husbands is that we love our wives sacrificially as Christ loved the church. The main responsibility for setting a loving climate in the home is on the husband. But many husbands know nothing in daily practice about laying aside their rights, their comfort, their pleasures, their pursuits, or their time for the sake of their wives. If you're using your wife simply to meet your needs, if you don't regard her needs above your own, if you're demanding your own way in the home all the time, you aren't loving her sacrificially. Forget about the need to put your feet up and read the paper. It's full of rubbish news anyway. help with the dishes. Forget playing that game on your console and see the mess the kids have made playing all day and tidy it up so your wife can rest. Forget sitting down for the evening when your wife wants to go for a walk to spend some alone time with you. Find ways to serve, to love, to help, to bless your wife. Listen, it might be you give up your newspaper for a few days or your lunchtime sweetie habit or whatever it happens to be in order to buy her a surprise gift. Doesn't need to be a big gift, but simply letting her know that you care is enough. It might mean forgoing the football in order to take her to the shops. It might mean forgetting the night out with the boys in order to take your wife out for dinner. You get the picture here, gentlemen, don't you? Some of the wives are smiling already, thinking this is going to be great. This is going to be great this week. You get the picture? Giving up self in order to bless your wife. Looking for ways to show your love practically, even when it means laying aside your own selfish desires. What a difference you would see to your marriage if you shared and showered sacrificial love on your wife. This love is also sanctifying love. Why does Paul say Christ gave himself up for the church? Well, look on at verse 26. To make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In other versions of the Bible, you will see that begin, that he might sanctify her. Sanctify means to set apart for God to make holy. We are sanctified by Jesus at the moment of salvation. Jesus died to cleanse us from our sins. He did that once and for all time. All sins past and present and future were dealt with on the cross of Calvary. Yet we are a fallen people who no matter how hard we try, we continue to sin. And because we continue to sin, the Lord is doing a daily and progressive work of sanctification in our lives. He is making us more like Jesus day by day. He gave up his rights in order that we might be saved. And so in marriage, we set ourselves apart for our wives and set them apart for us. We commit to loving them all the days of our lives, of being devoted to them and to them alone, forsaking all others. We have married them. And so we need to protect that love. We need to protect our marriages. So guys, stop looking at other women lustfully, whether that's in pornography or in person. Be careful in taking another woman out for coffee or for lunch. You might just be flirting with temptation. Invite your wife along, or at least let her know who you're meeting and why you're meeting them. In my line of work, I often meet members of the opposite sex for coffee and for pastoral care. Let me tell you, Morag always knows who I am meeting and where and when. She doesn't know all that we discuss. But she knows who I am meeting so I hold myself accountable, so that we protect our marriage. There should be an accountability in your marriage, and that works both ways. Build a hedge of protection around your marriage. Your love is exclusive now. It's you and her. And young ladies, single ladies, unmarried ladies, let me say this. If a man comes along and he tells you he loves you and then he tries to take away your virtue, he tries to get you into bed, listen, that is not love. Don't ever believe that definition of love. Love lifts up. Love purifies. Love exalts. Love honors. Love makes holy. Love sanctifies. And notice that this sanctifying love involves cleansing. It involves presenting holy and blameless. Now, don't misunderstand what is going on here when Paul speaks of without stain or wrinkle or blemish. I would not suggest getting a tub of oil of Yuli or some anti-wrinkle cream and taking it home unless she specifically asked you for it, or you might just get into bother. He's speaking of spiritually here, of being mature in Christ, of having been cleansed from sin and growing more Christ-like in behavior and attitude. Paul, of course, is referring to Jesus washing us clean of sin by his blood shed on the cross. And while sanctifying refers to being set apart exclusively unto God, cleansing refers to the removal of our sins. Paul probably had in mind the ritual bath that Jewish brides would take before their weddings. Or he may have been thinking about Ezekiel's prophecy in Ezekiel 16 and 8, where God describes how he entered into a marriage covenant with his bride, Israel. It says there that he washed off her blood, he anointed her with oil, he clothed her in beautiful garments and jewelry so that she looked like a queen. Listen, Jesus Christ took us from our impurity. He cleansed us from all our sins. He made us the bride of the King. What are we cleansed with? Paul says there that we are cleansed, cleansing her by the washing with water through the Word. We're speaking of the Word of God here. It's the Word of God that keeps us pure. In John 15:3, Jesus told his disciples, "You are already clean because of the Word I have spoken to you." It was God's Word that has redeemed us, God's Word that keeps us clean. Men, you have a responsibility in your home to apply to your wife every purifying influence you can that will make her holy. Do everything you can to ensure her purity. Guys, we must be committed to the total well-being of our wives, but especially to their spiritual growth and holiness. You should read the Word with your wife. Pray with her. Pray for her so that she will grow in godliness. Talk together about the things of God, including both the joys and the struggles of the Christian life. Protect your wife. Protect your wife from the world's moral filth as much as you can. Don't make her watch programs that are raunchy and sensual. Don't suggest that she watches rubbish with you to improve your sex life. Listen, unless you have a medical problem, the Bible has all you need to have a satisfying sex life. Did you know that? Go and read Song of Solomon. When was the last time you read Proverbs chapter 5 properly? The main thrust of these verses, though, is the Lord building his church to be holy and to be blameless. And he's been about that since before the creation of the world. That's what he's always been about. How do I know that? Well, flip back to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. Because it says there that he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons. Isn't that incredible? He chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless. And that is a wonderful thing. The Lord's desire is for us to be pure, to be holy, to be blameless. He wants us to be mature. He wants us to be perfect in just like Jesus. And that is taking time. But he's working on our sanctification each and every day. And husbands, with our sanctifying love, we will want to build up our wives. We won't want to tear them down. We will want to share with them all that we have and all that we are. We will want them to grow like Jesus, just as we too are growing to be more like him. Brothers, don't ridicule your wives. Don't tear them down. Don't put them down. Don't attack them. Rather, build them up in the Lord. Build them up in love. Husband's love for his wife is sacrificial. It's sanctifying. But it should also be satisfying. Look at verse 28. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it just as Christ does the church, for we are members of his body. We want to be satisfied in life, don't we? We want to feel happy, to feel content, to feel healthy. Men, we spend a lot of time on our bodies by jogging, by exercising, by eating the right foods, by wearing nice clothes. Well, some of us do anyway. After all, a Christian's body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. We certainly don't want to mar it, so we take good care of it. And what Paul is saying in these verses is, look, you ought to love your wives as you love your own body. And how do we look after our own bodies? Well, we feed and care for them. In other translations, it says nourish and cherish it. We want the very best for ourselves, and we should want the very best for the love of our lives, for our wives. We should want them to be well fed. We should desire for them to be cared for. We should see that they are satisfied in life. It's our responsibility to care for them in this way. Now, instantly, we go to the physical well-being of our wives, and we consider ways that we can satisfy them, and that's right to do. But more than that, We have a responsibility for their spiritual well-being as well. We are to love them and to feed them and to care for them. Whenever I think of that, I'm always drawn back to John 21 as Jesus reminds Peter at the end of John's gospel of the commands of shepherds to care for the sheep under their care. It applies to the husbands who are to tenderly care for their wife and for their children. Guys, we are to help and to encourage our wives to grow in Christ. I'll say it again, encourage them to be reading Scripture, even read it together, pray for them, and yes, get over yourself and get over your insecurities and pray with her. Her spiritual care is one of your key priorities. And when she is happy in Christ, when she is growing in her faith alongside you, growing in her faith, in your faith rather, then you'll both be satisfied. There's so much more in these verses, by the way. And I know you know that because I said there were four responsibilities and we've only done one. So we're going to stop there this morning. This is by far and away the biggest responsibility of a husband. This is our key duty, to love our wives and to love them as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. So let's stop there with that word love ringing in our ears. That means, guys, that we get to come back next week for more encouragement, for more joy in the Scriptures as we think about our duty and our responsibility as husbands. Paul gave three verses for the wives. He's given eight for us. So I think that's probably only fair that you get a second crack at the whip next week, husbands. If the wife's duty before God, with the help of the Holy Spirit's filling, is to submit to her husband, then the husband's duty before God and with the help of the Holy Spirit's filling is to love his wife. This isn't some mere feeling or thought. It is to be very practical. It's agape love. It's the most intense, most divine, most magnanimous, most sacrificial, most humble kind of love. It's the love of the will. And as we've seen from the text this morning, it's a sacrificial love in that we willingly lay aside our selfish desires in order to serve and meet the needs of our wives. It's a sanctifying love as we seek to protect our marriages and protect our wives, to set them apart for us alone. A sanctifying love, too, as we seek to build them up in their faith, as we lead them deeper into the truths of God's Word and pray for them and with them. And it's a satisfying love as we love them, as we love ourselves, as we care for them, as we nourish them, as we cherish them. And so let me ask a few questions this morning. Because maybe you're not a husband here, but you've been thinking about love and what it means. Do you know and love Jesus? Do you know and love Jesus? If not, then what are you doing? This morning, come and bend the knee. Crown him as Lord of your life. Let me ask each one of us, if we're loving one another as Christ Jesus calls us to do. If not, then would you consider this week and ways you can express that love one to the other within the church family? And husbands, let me ask you, because it is about us today, that's what Paul is sharing with us, that is God's word. Husbands, let me ask you, are you loving your wife as Christ loves the church? I don't mean do you think it. I don't mean do you say it, as if it's some kind of intellectual response I'm looking for this morning. I mean, are you doing it? Are you showing it? Is your love sacrificial? Is your love sanctifying? Is your love satisfying? This week, would you pray for and would you pray with your wife? And would you go out of your way to show her that you love her? Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for your word to us this morning. We often look at the way the world views marriage and sometimes think that's how we should go. Or sometimes we look at the way the world does marriage and we think that it's got it all wrong and it's all crazy. And by a large measure, they often do. But Lord, we thank you that we can look at your word and we can see what it is to have a Spirit-filled marriage. We thank you for the words we've been thinking on since last week as wives. We thank you for the words that we're beginning to think on this week as we think of the duty and responsibility in husbands. And Lord, that overarching cry for us to love our wives as Christ loved the church. Father God, would you forgive us? Would you forgive us for those times when we have failed in that very simple task? Would you cleanse us and renew us? We pray that you would give us strength and courage, that you would give us boldness this week to think on your word, but not just to think on it, but Lord, to live it out, that we might love our wives just as you loved the church. Father God, inspire us, encourage us. And once more this morning, Father God, I simply pray that if there's anything of me that we've been hearing this morning, then take it away. And Lord, may we simply be left with what is of you. By your Spirit, would you seal that in our minds and in our hearts? And would you help us to apply it and to live it out in these days for your glory and for your honor. Amen.